Welcome to the Statement Makers Podcast, where we hear from everyday people like you and me who have overcome the odds and are doing extraordinary things to make their communities and the world a better place to live. We hope you enjoy our conversation, get inspired, and become a statement maker. Hello, and welcome to the Statement Makers Podcast. I'm your host, Karen Vergara, and I want to thank you for tuning in to another episode. Today, we have an exceptional guest, and I know you will love her story. Her name is Janet Paris Eccles. Janet moved to the U.S. at age 12 from Bolivia. She learned English, went to college, got married, and had three beautiful children. She had a pretty normal life until age 31, when she lost her eyesight due to a hereditary retinal disease. That's when her life took a sharp turn, and with three children under the age of seven, she had to learn how to be a mom and a wife under these new circumstances. And then life threw a few more curveballs, including the murder of her 19-year-old son and a divorce after 42 years of marriage. However, none of those things have kept Janet from moving forward. Today, she's an international speaker, a best-selling book author, a missionary, and an award-winning Spanish interpreter. What's incredible about Janet's story is not the pain and the suffering that she has endured, because I think we can all agree that it's quite unfathomed, but it's the joy that she found through the adversity and that she carries with her every day. So today, I am thrilled that she will be sharing some time with us, because I think we all want to know how she did this. Janet, thank you so much for being our guest.
It's my pleasure, Karen. And you are so sweet to give me all those nice comments and words. I just, funny you would think that I would exude joy because that's just my life story. In spite of all the yuckiness, I think life is all about joy and how to find it in the midst of darkness. So thank you for your comments.
Well, Janet, I am thrilled to have you. And I think because so many times we see people that, unfortunately, when life just throws, you know, situations like the ones that you have gone through their way, they get beaten down and they don't necessarily get back up. So I'm excited that you're here today to share with us how you've done this. And we kind of have to start almost like on a sad note, which is just the fact that you lost your eyesight when you were very young. So tell us a little bit more about that, please, and how you felt during that time.
Sure. Well, at the time, I didn't think I was young. You know, when you're 30, 31, you think, oh my gosh, I'm already 30, right? So I didn't think of me as, oh my goodness, you know, I'm young. I have so much life ahead of me. So when the retinal disease happened, in a matter of 18 months, it took my sight completely, and there was no cure, no surgery. There was absolutely nothing that could help me to regain my sight. So I was looking at that, at a lifetime of physical darkness and physical blindness. And of course, many, many years have gone by and still I don't have sight. But you know what I do have, Karen, is I think I'm able to see in a different way with my heart. And I tell you, in so many circumstances, seeing life with your heart is so much better. It's healthier. And it's even a more invigorating type of a view, only because you see not with distractions, but you see beyond it. Like when I meet somebody for the first time, I don't think, oh my goodness, girlfriend, what's with that hairdo? Like when I could see it, sometimes you judge people by their appearances. Mm-hmm. But now I see them with their heart. What a gift that is for me to be able to see who people are, not what they look like.
It's almost like it's taking a spin on a very difficult situation that you said, well, now I have an opportunity to look at people and to view things in a spiritual way. And, you know, you even share that your faith has really made a huge difference. The reason why you've been able to kind of overcome all of these things, including other things, like you had the unfortunate loss of your son who was murdered at age 19, a few years after you had lost your eyesight. And even recently, after 42 years of marriage, your husband filed for divorce. So how do you use your faith to help you through all of this and to keep your spirits up and to keep that joy?
Well, you know, Karen, yes, most people who would read my story, for example, would think, oh, what a miserable life. Oh my goodness, what has she been doing to have all these things happen in your life? I mean, one of them would have been traumatic enough, but one after the other. And so what I had to do, Karen, is I had to make a choice. Either I would sink in self-pity, boo-hoo me, this is unfair, why me, and been paralyzed with a sense of discouragement, and I'm not worthy of anything because look at myself, look at my life. But I didn't choose that. Instead, what I chose is to focus on what I still had and why, what I still have. I could still hear and talk and speak and walk and love and work hard. And I can also, regarding the murder of my son, I don't want to come across like, oh, she's so callous. She doesn't feel pain or heartache. I mean, that's just a horrible thing to happen. Mm-hmm. Yes, I went through my episodes of deep, deep sorrow and darkness and just a heartache that I didn't think I could make it through. But once I chose to, wait a minute, I need to see this differently. Not that I lost my son, but what a gift he was to me for 19 years when I had him with me. His jokes, the way he was a leader, he was so handsome, he was such a great athlete. All those memories are gold to me. So you know what I chose? To hang on to that. Not only that, I know that I'm going to see him again. So that sorrow that could have sunk me into self-pity and just paralyzed me, instead it propelled me to say, you know, there's so much to be grateful for. And I think I built my ministry based on that, on a sense of gratitude that I can see a horizon beyond adversity. I can see something beyond the pain and the heartache. And what I see is something better. And to add to my joy and my I guess, satisfaction is that I can help other people do the same. What an honor and a privilege to be in that position, to have gone through those valleys and show people the path to the mountaintops again.
And how did you do that, Janet? Because when you are in situations like that, that are just so painful, and you may be just depressed, or, you know, you just don't know how to get out of it. How do you look for that light at the end of the tunnel? How do you pick yourself up and say, I'm going to move forward and look at the positive side of things?
Right. Well, I think it's God's grace that did not allow me to get to the point of depression. And I think any of those three events could have taken me there. But the reason I didn't go there is because I happen to be an avid believer, profound, deeply, undeniably believer in God's word in the Bible. So that became my guide. That became my source of wisdom, how to deal with circumstances, what to say, what to think, what to believe, what to embrace, and what to apply in my life. And you asked me specifically, what was it that helped me get up in the morning with enough enthusiasm to keep going through my life? And that is God's word. When, for example, I would read a verse that says, my word will be a lamp to your feet and a light for your path. What he was telling me there is that he would guide me. In my darkness, he would be with me. He would be my light when I didn't see what I couldn't see what was ahead of me. So I took that promise to be a personal one for me. And I began to trust, to believe, and to have the confidence found in God that he would do what I couldn't do for myself. That's how I got through every day. I got through each episode, and I got through each challenge. But let me tell you, Karen, there are challenges. You can imagine when you can't see anything. By the way, I don't have any sight whatsoever. I don't see light, darkness. I don't see anything at all. And there are challenges during the day, obviously. But I know that God's going to help me overcome them. So I don't look at a challenge like, oh my gosh, that's right. I can't do that because I can't see. I don't do that. I say, you know, I know God's going to show me a different way of doing it. And that's how I was able to go through my career as an interpreter, be able to do projects that my sighted colleagues could not do or were not willing to put the effort or work into doing. I was able to do it. So I hope that answered the question.
Yeah. Well, Janet, what you just shared is just so profound because it's just having the faith that God is out there helping you and crafting a plan for you. Tell us a little bit more, please, about you becoming a Spanish interpreter, and not just a Spanish interpreter, but an award-winning Spanish interpreter. And the fact that you had a really good ability to listen because you had to rely on your ears rather than your eyesight helped you with this, correct?
Yes. My career as an interpreter began in a way that it sounds so illogical and pretty much impossible, because I had gotten my bachelor's degree in business administration. I was sighted then, of course, when I went to college. So my preparation was to work in a corporate setting. But as I was trying to get adjusted to my life without being able to see, learning how to cook again, how to take care of the house, how to clean, I had a friend suggest that I would try being an interpreter because my native language is Spanish. So I decided, well, what do I have to lose? Because see, by then I was conditioned and I had developed the habit of always looking at that. Why not? Why not try the possibility, right? Mm-hmm. So I called in Spanish interpreting company. Actually, they interpreted for more than Spanish. They said, sure, we can use you as an interpreter, but you have to come and take a test. Well, I knew nothing about interpretation, but when I went to take a test, Karen, I did my best. And the one thing that helped me, I believe, is I had no visual distractions. So when I read a rendition in English, I was so totally focused that I could utter it in Spanish. The same thing when I heard something in Spanish, I was able to render in English quickly without any other distractions. Well, sure enough, the next day the secretary called me up and she said, "Miss Eccles, we want you to know you passed the test and we're so impressed with the results that we want to send you to your first assignment at the Immigration and Naturalization Court." I was elated. Talk about shock, right? One day I was folding laundry, the next day I'm in the courtroom being an interpreter.
Oh my goodness, yes.
But there were other challenges, because when I got there, I realized, what am I doing here? I've never set foot in a courtroom before. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have the training, the skills, the experience, the education, and interpreting. I'm going to make a fool of myself in there, right? Mm. But then I have learned to remember, to store in my heart what God says. He says, don't think of those things. Think of what's good, what's excellent, what's pure, what's praiseworthy. Think about those things. So I changed my thinking and decided I'm going to go through that courtroom. Whatever happens, I know I'm going to do my best. I'm going to give it my all. And I know that whatever outcome I have, I will have learned an important lesson. Mm. I went in, did my best, and the judge took a break and he said, "Ms. Eccles, approach the bench." That's what I said. Oh my God, what is he going to do? He's going to tell me, "Lady, go home and learn to be an interpreter before you set foot in my courtroom," right? But he said, "Ms. Eccles, I am also bilingual, and I want you to know I'm very impressed with your level of accuracy and your professionalism." Wow.
Unbelievable. Wow. Yeah.
So I wanted to scream and say, yeah, but I just said, "Thank you, Your Honor."
You have to be very proper.
Oh, yes, of course. I mean, I'm trying to be professional, holding my excitement in, right? I finished the session, went home. I think, Karen, in one night, I think my mom read me a full legal dictionary and I memorized all those terms. I began to study, to train, and continue to do interpreting. And judges and attorneys were sending letters home, commendations and telling me what a good job I was doing. And because they don't have time to do that. But the fact they took the time really meant a lot to me. And 2 years after that, the largest over-the-phone interpreting company in the world hired me. And that's where my career began with them. Initially as an interpreter, then I became a master interpreter, a senior language specialist. I trained other interpreters. I developed material on how to train them in court interpretation over the phone. And so I became, I guess you could say, yes, I did win every award they had, including the highest and most prestigious award of professional excellence. But, you know, I don't share that to say, "Oh, look at me, look what I did." What I wanted to share with your listeners is that what you think is impossible never is. Mm-hmm. What you think you can't do, maybe it's something that is going to give you the strength to do something that you thought you never could. If you take that risk, if you take that step, and you don't let the world tell you what you cannot do. In my case, being, and I got my certification later on in Florida, I became the first blind person to receive my court certification in the state of Florida, because even though they said they've never done it before, I thought to myself, just because no one hasn't done it doesn't mean you cannot do it. So I would always take that step forward, take another step forward. And of course, always, in my case, always in prayer, always hanging on to faith that God would be with me, helping me, guiding me, and giving me the wisdom to do it. And I think that's the reason I was able to do pretty much the impossible in my career as an interpreter being blind. So.
At what point, Janet, were you aware that you had a really wonderful story to tell, a story that needed to be shared with others?
That's a good question. I remember a friend of mine when I lost my sight, maybe it had been a couple of years into my blindness, a friend shared with me that there's a computer that you can type on the keyboard and it tells you what you're typing. So you can know what you're doing by hearing what the computer's telling you, like when I change applications, when I open emails. And I thought that was the neatest tool ever. It's a regular computer. You just download that software that reads the screen. So when I tried it, of course, I already knew the keyboard. So I started typing. This is just the greatest thing ever. I mean, it opened up a new world to me, because obviously I never learned Braille and I couldn't see paper to write or books to read. But with this computer, with the software, I was able to do that. So one day I decided, I think I'm going to write my story. Someday, if I ever have grandkids, they might want to read the story about grandma, right? Mm. Well, I wrote my story and I thought, let me divide it in chapters. Before you knew it, I had a book written and I wrote all the episodes, up and downs, and all the things that happened in my life. And we went ahead and self-published it. I had no idea the book was going to inspire so many people. I started getting letters from England, from Germany, from New Zealand, from women saying how much my book had helped them. So then I decided, this is pretty cool. Let me continue to do that, right? So that's when I started writing articles and columns, and wrote my second book and my third book and my fourth book. And as I kept writing, I would begin to get invitations to speak. And so that's how my career as a writer started. And of course, I'm still writing quite a bit now. And the same as my career with speaking. As I was invited to speak, the problem was, or the obstacle was, that I couldn't really travel by myself and I didn't have someone to travel with me. So I had to overcome the fear of traveling by myself. Once again, guess what I turned to, right? God's word, when he tells me that there's nothing I need to fear, because he didn't give me a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. And for me, what that meant is that if you think you're afraid, if you are worried, if those kinds of thoughts enter your mind, you'll be paralyzed. Instead, I thought, this is going to be a pretty cool adventure. Let me just give it a shot. So I called the airline, made my reservation. I asked them to give me an escort so that they could help me in the airport, get from one point to another. So I did that, carrying my white cane so that they would know, you know, that I need assistance. So that was about 15, 20 years ago. So I've been traveling around the country, other countries by myself, knowing that my purpose, my goal is to help other people see the other side of adversity and see what a beautiful world it is when you choose to look beyond the circumstance.
Well, I have to share a story with you, Janet. So my husband, I was, you know, letting him know that I was in touch with you and kind of going back and forth. And I said, oh my gosh, I need to email Janet. And he looks at me and he just says, I'm sorry, what? And I said, yeah, I need to email Janet. He's like, oh, how does Janet email back? And I said, she emails back. I know it's her. And I think it's just her computer. So you answered that question. But what's really wonderful is just the fact that you've not let the loss of your eyesight be a hindrance to you living a very joyful and full life. And even the fact that you travel by yourself and that you continue to share your story with others, it's just very uplifting and very just inspiring altogether.
Well, somebody did tell me, they said, well, I want to be careful what I write because I know you have somebody reading your emails to you. And I said, nobody's reading them to me. And you know, it's so funny, Karen, if you were to walk in my office, you would hear this, because I have it in a real high speed. So it reads me really, really fast, where most people could not understand the word, but I'm so used to it. And the reason I have it at such a high speed is because often I need to read a full book. If, for example, if a friend wants an endorsement for her book or a review for the book, it would take me a long time if I had a normal speed, if it read like this, you know, the way people really talk, it would be forever. So I have it and speed quite high. So I can go through emails quicker than anybody else. I can change applications. I can write articles and read them back quickly. So it's really an asset to me. I probably am more productive now and can produce more than I could if I could say so.
It's just so cool. And you do other things, like you cook, you know, you have a pretty normal life. Share with us a little bit of kind of how do you do that?
It's so funny. And not long ago, I just made these cookies. Okay, I call them oatmeal cookies because I put oatmeal in there. And I'm just such a fanatic with health stuff, right? All my stuff has to be so nutritious. It has to be organic. It has to be pure. So I made these cookies, and the way I do them is I'm too lazy to go back and, okay, now how many cups of this? Oh, wait a minute. Let me go back on my computer. How many spoons? I think that is just too much trouble. So what I do is I just calculate in my mind how much of this ingredient, that ingredient, the consistency. And I got to say, they turn out pretty good to where people say, oh, give me that recipe. This is just so delicious and I need to eat more, you know, healthier. And I said, I can't give you the recipe. I have no clue how much I put in. They said, okay, then I'm going to come over to your house and I'm going to watch you. I said, you are more than welcome to. So I do prepare a lot of nutritious dishes, and I do have some videos on my website. I would love for you to come over and visit my website, inspirationforyou.com, and check out the videos of my cooking in the dark. We used to call it cooking in the dark, but we had to change the name. Now it's called See What's Cooking.
I love that. That's just so amazing. Again, I think it's just so inspirational because we take some of the things that we do on a daily basis for granted. I mean, I know that I take my eyesight for granted.
Sure, most people do, right?
Yeah, and not just that, but even walking and being able to handle things and just so many things we take for granted. But when we see others being able to overcome those obstacles with physical disabilities and still have, again, like I said, a very full and joyous life, it's also very just inspiring.
Well, you know, people tell me, you know, Janet, I wish you'd start acting blind. Some friends and I were in the elevator one day and we had gotten off. We were visiting a friend and they all got out and they left me in there because I didn't realize they had all left because I was talking as I always do. And they're like, oh my goodness, I forgot Janet. So they yanked me out at the last minute before the door closed. And my friend says, Janet, I wish you would start acting blind because we keep forgetting. And I said, I forget too. You know, I don't think, because I say, let me see that. And I think, oh, wait a minute. And then, makes sense, does it? Or I'll say, well, I'll see you later. Because I never think, you know, I just see myself as doing whatever. The only thing I can't do is fly a plane or drive a truck, but you probably can't do that either, right, Karen?
No, I can't. I can't. You're right. And it's the humor of it all, because I've heard you speak also at other events and conferences, etc. And you put just such a nice spin to it that it makes others not feel uncomfortable with the fact that, you know, you can't see.
Well, you know, the importance of laughter, people forget, especially now with all the yucky stuff that's going on in this world. People forget to laugh, and laughter is such a healing, such an important part. It is part of being joyful. God wants us to have joy. You know, the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and you draw strength from joy. And yes, laughter is something that I always evoke in my audiences. When I speak, I make them laugh, and then later on they cry a little bit. But in the end, I think they're inspired, but more than inspired, I think they're prompted to see their own life, their own trials in a different light, and to see all the things that are good and reasons to be grateful for. Because I think that's the secret, don't you think?
Absolutely. And Janet, what would you say out of all the stories and all the letters that you've ever gotten because of your testimony, what would you say is like favorite one or one that has really touched your heart?
Well, I'm going to share with you the story of an Italian. She gave me her permission to use her name. She had just been home from the hospital the second time she tried to take her life. And she had the TV on, And she happened to flip on the channel that I was being interviewed and telling my story. And she heard my story and decided that if God can do that for me after all I've gone through, that there was hope for her. So she decided to change. And there was, for the first time, she said there was hope in her heart. And she started going to a church, and they embraced her and taught her the Bible. She went back to school. And to this day, once in a while, she calls me. She says, Miss Eccles, it's Natalia. I just want you to know how I'm doing. And I think she's got a boyfriend now, and I think they're going to get married. So in my mind, I don't know how many Natalias are out there that my story and God's way to use me has touched to help them see that life doesn't have to end with adversity. Sometimes life begins from a trial, taking it to triumph that you never dreamed of. And it was the case with me. And of course, my goal, my passion, and my mission is to reach as many people, to show them that same path, the same way that you can find victory in every circumstance.
Well, and I hope that this podcast does just that. I mean, other than all the other interviews and your books and your speeches done, but just touches other folks that really need that ray of sunshine and light at the end of the tunnel to know that there is something wonderful that can come from adversity. After today's episode, I just know that there are going to be folks that want to continue to be inspired and want to know more about you. So how can they connect with you? Where can they buy your books? You know, what's your website, your social media?
Sure. If they just visit my website, which is inspirationforyou.com, all words spelled out, inspiration, F-O-R-Y-O-U.com, they will find my link to my books, links to my videos and my radio program so that they can just choose a topic and just sit back and listen to inspiration for an hour. There's tons of topics about every aspect of life that you can think of. Wherever you're at, you'll find one of those segments that will help you. And also, of course, I have my speaking page where I'm booking now virtual presentations to inspire, to motivate, and call to action to corporate events and also faith-based events. And on the website too, you'll find the links to my social media accounts, Facebook and LinkedIn and such. So I hope they can visit me. I think there's a gift waiting for those who visit for the first time.
Oh, perfect. Thank you so much for just taking the time to be on the podcast, sharing your life story with us. You are a true statement maker. And I just leave today's episode just completely inspired. And I know that our listeners will appreciate the story and be inspired as well.
Oh, I hope so, Karen. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you, Janet. Okay, folks, there you have it. A story unlike any other. Janet is truly by far one of the most inspiring individuals I know. My two takeaways from this conversation are, one, even after we experience tragedy, we have the power to choose how we react. And number two, we can find excuses to limit our potential, but it's up to us to find the ways to overcome the barriers that allow us to fulfill our ultimate purpose. I know that you have someone in your life who needs to hear this episode, so please spread the love. Take a screenshot of your phone and share it with that person today. Also, don't forget to tag us on Instagram. Our handle is @StatementMakersPodcast. And you can always email me at Karen@StatementMakersPodcast.com with any comments. I hope you join me on our next episode. And remember, you already have everything you need to become a statement maker.